On April the 22nd, 2013, more than 1 billion people around the world will take part in the 43rd anniversary of Earth Day. Earth Day is an annual observance on which events are held worldwide to demonstrate support for environmental protection. Pope Francis voiced his concern for the environment in the very first homily of his papacy on March the 19th, when he was installed.
Please, I would like to ask all those who have positions of responsibility in economic, political and social life, and all men and women of goodwill, let us be protectors of creation, protectors of God's plan inscribed in nature, protectors of one another and of the environment.
The global theme for Earth Day 2013 is the face of climate change, chosen because of the need to highlight the mounting impact of climate change on individuals around the world. The organisation that coordinates Earth Day is called Earth Day Network. It manages an extensive global network of Earth Day event organisers and other partners. In a creative project that aims to show the world that climate change is not a remote problem at all, it's impacting real people, animals and places all over the world, Earth Day Network is collecting and displaying images of people, animals and places directly affected or threatened by climate change. It's also asking ordinary people to become climate reporters and send their pictures and stories that show the faces of climate change. I spoke to Earth Day Network President Kathleen Rogers.
Earth Day Network is the organization that came out of the first Earth Day, which was in 1970. In 1970, as a result of industrial pollution, the United States was in a very difficult situation with rivers on fire, and you couldn't see across the street in Los Angeles, and we were seeing a lot of birth defects and declines in species because of DDT and other issues. And as a result of that, the first Earth Day created this sort of wave of passion and interest in protecting the environment and the Earth. As a result of that, Earth Day Network was created by the founders of the original Earth Day, and we've grown now to be the global coordinator of Earth Day. We're in 192 countries. About a billion people participate in Earth Day, including governments, Catholic priests, school children, community groups, and other organizations who believe in protecting the environment. We create a theme every year, but generally speaking, we provide organizational materials, training, information, sometimes staff support to the 27,000 groups that are part of our network. And as a result of that, Earth Day has now grown. So each year we're finding more and more people participating in Earth Day as a way to, whether they're doing community cleanups, becoming involved in petitions or town hall meetings, or, as I said, with the Catholic priests, and we have thousands of them engaged in Earth Day talking about the need to protect the Earth. Of course, all that is helped by Pope Francis, who we're very excited about, whose interest in environmental issues and the simplicity of his life all speak to the whole question of global sustainability.
Over 1 billion people are going to participate in Earth Day this year. The theme is the face of climate change. Why this theme?
I think Earth Day Network ran a global campaign called A Billion Acts of Green, which was an attempt to reach a billion individual actions to demonstrate to global leaders that the world really cares about protecting the Earth, about sustainability, and about climate change in particular. We reached the billion actions, some collective by tree planting organizations, by individuals, by corporations, by religious organizations, and together we counted more than a billion actions. We're actually moving on to our second billion now. But we also discovered that although people were coming onto our website and pledging acts of green, and there were so many funny ones and emotional ones and spiritual commitments, that we really wanted to put a face on what that means. And so for us, the face of climate change is not just about those people that will be impacted by climate change, because there are certainly many more than a billion that will be. But in addition to that, we wanted to demonstrate to the world and to leaders that ordinary people whose lives will not be directly impacted by, say, storms or drought or any of the other expectations, physical expectations that we see, that those people would put their own faces online and tell us the story about why it's important to them. And really, in truth, we do believe that every human being on Earth will be impacted by climate change. And we know that because we've seen it with pollution, with the results of drought all over the world, including the United States. And whether those incidents are tied directly to climate change or not, we feel that putting a face, an individual face, and collecting those images and those stories, that we can begin to build a broader, more inclusive environmental movement that will help convince our leaders to do something about our environmental issues.
Now, you're asking individuals to do something very specific. Can you tell us about this project, this mosaic that you are creating?
Yes, we've asked people to come online with their cell phone photos, their professional photos. Some of them submit drawings. They're from people all over the world. We have over 190 countries already participating, thousands and thousands and thousands of photos. Each photo that's submitted, there's an opportunity to write your personal story about why climate change is important to you, how you're experiencing it, what your fears are, what you believe the opportunities are, both in terms of creating new technology and new jobs around this new green economy. And as we collect these stories, we project them. We upload them on various social networking sites, most of which I don't know how to operate, but people in my office do. And there are Tumblr, and there are dozens of other of these sites springing up. And so we upload the photos as many places as we can, and then we will be projecting them on various buildings at many, many Earth Day events around the world, on the side of government buildings even, at train stations, on videos, and some on the news. That will have this mosaic appearing. And when you look at it, you see the extraordinary sort of attributes, if you will, of every single person and how varied their stories are and how varied they look and tell us their stories. And so it's a very emotional, some is practical, but it's also a very emotional and spiritual experience looking at these stories of people around the world and uniting them together.
We can go online, right, and watch. Anyone can.
Right. You can go online to Earth Day Network's website, which is very simple. It's earthdayoneword.org. And then you can also get there more quickly by adding the / or forward slash, I guess, face of climate change. But you can find them through the earthday.org website and look at the photos. We're actually at this point, because we're reviewing photos and looking at stories, just having trouble keeping up with the thousands of photos that are pouring in. But this project will continue beyond Earth Day, and I hope we'll begin to form the basis of uniting people together into this global environmental movement. People will send us their email addresses. Many people are asking what to do next. Of course, that's the great question, how you unite them together, even though our interests and the opportunities and problems are, you know, disparate and very different from each other. And how do you bring all that together so we can convince people, particularly our leadership, including corporate leadership, that we need to do something about climate change in particular, because it does have so many different facets. But the big question is how you unite people together. How do you convince governments that the political will of the people, their people in their own countries, will be behind them if they make bold changes? That's a question that we're struggling with right now and hoping to resolve by working with many, many groups, including the faith-based community, which has really been extraordinarily interested and helpful and powerful in the whole quest for a resolution of these issues. In fact, I might say that when a member of the clergy goes into a member of Congress or a legislator's office, the legislature responds much more to a religious person speaking than they do to an environmentalist. We've been around a long time. Everybody knows what we're about, but when a faith-based leader walks in the door, I can tell you the legislator, the member of Congress, the president, they stand a little taller and pay a little bit more attention to what the person's saying, because they know the religious person represents both a large constituency, which of course is important to the legislator, but also sort of the spiritual value and in some ways God.
So what are your expectations regarding Pope Francis's papacy?
I was very hopeful and am hopeful when Pope Francis was selected to be the leader of the Catholic Church, which, as you know, is more than a billion people. And many, if not most, respond to the things that he says, and they internalize that and make it part of their lives. Of course, his name, Pope Francis, really signifies a lot to those of us that care about the earth and animals, because we all know the history. Whether you're Catholic or not, people know the history of St. Francis, who was an incredible person, not just because he gave up his own personal wealth, but because he also lived a simple life, but is obviously the patron of animals and other environmental issues and the earth in general. He lived that kind of life and is well known for that. So we were quite heartened by the fact that this new pope took that name. But despite the fact that he took the name, which is terrific, we also, in addition to that, we noticed that he had lived a very simple life, living in an apartment, taking public transportation, cooking his own meals, and basically his footprint, if you will, on the earth, his carbon footprint, his environmental footprint, was tiny. It was small. He lived like the rest of us do, living a simple life, a life that is sustainable if we all take advantage of the way he lived and public transportation and the simplicity of who he is. So it's not just the name that signifies to me the possibility this pope could lead us all. I mean, every faith, every person out of the environmental crisis that we're in, people will listen to him. Now, previous popes have talked about climate change, and we recorded, you know, every word they've said because we hang on to that kind of terrific news. But I do believe this pope can take a greater role. He cares about the poor. He cares about the impacts of climate change on the poor, and he's lived that life already. So we have great hope. We hope he'll lead us, all faiths, all people, out of this crisis we're in, because we know if he speaks out about it in an affirmative way, that government leaders and corporate leaders will listen to him.